Been asked to speak tonight on Paul preached Christ and him crucified. And I kind of wrestled with how I wanted to approach this. But turn in your Bible, first of all, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read the first four verses. You'll see that our point is going to be met in verse 2, but I want to go through verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 4. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of the wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive or enticing words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. When you stop and think about the Apostle Paul, and you can probably put everybody in the penman of the New Testament, what was going through their minds, I wonder, sometimes? Why did they write, what was going through their mind when they were writing some of these things because of their history? Let's put it that way. Have you ever stopped to think about the Apostle Peter for just a moment? He told the Lord, I'll never deny you. If I have to die for you, I won't deny you. And of course he did, and he was reminded of that. But when he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write 1st and 2nd Peter, I wonder if those things ever went through his mind. His history, his background. Paul said here that he had not come to them preaching what? With enticing or persuasive words. New King James uses persuasive. The King James uses enticing, and I really like that one a little bit better, because it has a kind of a connotation to it that persuasive, well, that could be a good thing, but enticing sometimes, not so good. And so he says this, and Paul used the concept or the idea here of not using the philosophies of men, the people of his day, to persuade people of Christ or to entice them to Christ, nor the price that Jesus paid. And I think this is where we go back, and he says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Think about that for just a moment. I think Paul understood the value of preaching what the world and its wisdom would call foolishness. In fact, if you go on through and you go back to a little ways to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it begins to tie these things in, these thoughts together. Paul wasn't about to use something like that. Paul understood the value of preaching the gospel of Christ. Christ and him crucified for the sin of this world. And therein we can see that there is the saving power of the gospel, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Why? Because it took the shed blood of Jesus on the cross to offer us hope for eternal life. Have you ever stopped? Think for a moment. What if Jesus had not come to this world? What if, as the Word, he would have said, no, I know what's awaiting me there. I don't want to go. I decline. I'm not going to do this. Where would we be today? Simple question, isn't it? Lost in sin. No way out. What if he had called for the legions of angels to come down and rescue him? Where would we be? Lost in sin. You see, that cross that Paul would preach, Christ and Christ being crucified, is something that Paul, I think, could really relate to. He understood the changing, if you will, the transformative power of Christ and his sacrificial death by crucifixion. He understood that. Think about Paul's former self. Do you think Paul didn't know himself? You don't think he didn't know his past? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, he saw himself as what? The least among the apostles. And we're going to get to the answer to that in just a moment, but let's stop right there. He saw himself as being the least among all of the apostles. He remembered how he, listen to this, beyond measure persecuted the church, and the King James Version, I like this terminology because it carries with it the idea of ravaging something, just destroying something. He wasted it, Galatians 1 and verse 13. Look at his history. You think that some of the things as he would write some of these things by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to not go back in his history, his past, and be so grateful that Jesus would actually come to this world and die that horrible death on that cross so that he, Paul, could have hope of eternal life. He would tell Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, that he saw himself as being among sinners, as chief among those people. He was worse the worst, so to speak. Paul had not forgotten, I don't think, the road to Damascus. Remember chapter 9, verse of Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, where the Lord would say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Remember what he also said? He said, "It's hard for you to kick against the goad." That old sharp point on that stick that was used to move the livestock on alone. You rear back and kick that thing, it's painful. And that's what he was doing. He was, Paul, or Saul of Tarsus at this time, was inflicting pain on himself. And stop and think again. I wonder if it ever occurred, and probably did afterwards, that you cannot persecute Christ. You cannot persecute the church without persecuting the other. It's impossible. If you persecute the body of Christ, if you persecute the body, you're persecuting the head. And that's why Jesus would quote, use that terminology in my idea, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing that?" And then you look at Acts chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Acts 9, 13 and 14. Remember this story here about Ananias? And the Lord had told Ananias, "I've got somebody coming to you. And he needs you to," what? "Have his hand, have your hand put on him so that he might receive sight." Verse 13. "And Ananias answered, 'Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name.'" But verse 15, the Lord told him something. "You go, when he comes to you, go, for he is chosen vessel of mine to bear my name for the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name." Now, I want you to stop and think about that. He understood that he was going to have to suffer just like the Christ died on that cross and suffered for him. Not necessarily the same way, but he was going to suffer for the cause of Christ. You see, Paul understood, if you will, Paul understood that it was by that great sacrifice on the cross, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you might want to turn over there, verse 9, I told you 10, I told you we'd get to this in just a second. When he said, "I'm least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because," listen what, "I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but what? The grace of God which was with me. When you stop and think about it, you cannot preach Christ without preaching Him crucified. It's impossible. You're missing the story. You're missing a crucial element within the story, the life of Christ. That yes, He was the Word. He came in the flesh, John chapter 1, 1 through 14. He was God, God with us. But if He had not died on that cross, He cannot have been raised from the dead. And if He had not raised from the dead, being the first fruits of the resurrection, guess where we would be? Nowhere. Stuck where we are. And I oftentimes think about this just a little bit, because you know, if you've been around me very long, that the book of Philippians is a very special book to me. I love this book, love this work that Paul did to a very faithful, obviously, a very faithful church in Philippi. Begin verse 5 of chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was that mind? Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, it wasn't something that he would grasp and hold on to tenaciously and not let go. Well, I'm in the very form of God. I'm with my Father in heaven. I'm in absolute pure state. I'm in a perfect place. But it says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Now listen. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even what? The death of the cross. Goes back to the crucifixion. Goes back to it. Who was the penman of Philippians? Paul. You don't think things weren't going through his mind? And what this really meant? And not just for every person, but I'm sure Saul, Paul, understood what it meant to him. My question to us, though, this evening, is what does that mean to us? Christ and Him crucified. Because of my own goodness, I'd be lost. Like Paul would write, very plainly, very distinctly, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Man, I'm blessed. We're blessed to be where we are and having had somebody bring the gospel to us and the opportunity to teach others of the Christ that was who died for us on the cross. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, we ask a simple question tonight. And it was asked of Saul of Tarsus, Acts 22 and verse 16. Why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on, Saul? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see, if you have heard the gospel preached, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10 verse 17, and you're ready to repent of your sins, then you're ready to confess the name of Christ and be baptized and have your sins washed away. Ready to do those things. And if you're ready to do those things, I'm asking the simple question, what are you waiting on? There was one who shed his blood in agony and pain, both mental, physical, and spiritual pain on a cross, so that you might have hope of eternal life. Maybe it is the case that you're a child of God. You've already done that which you need to do. You've repented of your sins. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You confessed Him. You were baptized to have your sins washed away. But you've strayed away. You've drifted away. And you need to come back on God's terms. Can you think of a better time than right now to do something about that? If we can help out, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing this song?